Lord God, Heavenly Father, we pray that you would open our heart and mind, that we would think about what your word says. Lord God, seek to live it out. In your son's name we pray. Amen. So this morning we are going to be in our gospel lesson from Mark chapter 1, verse 14, asking you this morning, what is dangerous? What is dangerous? Think of the most dangerous thing you can think of. What would it be? And so this morning I wanted to take a look at one picture, and it'll kind of pave the way for everything we're going to talk about this morning. Dangerous, isn't it? Interesting enough is that I love this tradition. When a ship comes into port, especially an aircraft carrier, it's awesome how when you see the pictures of the aircraft carrier, all the sailors have on their white uniforms, and they're standing at the very edge of the boat like I wouldn't be if I was in the Navy. Interesting enough is sometimes the sailors actually spell something out, either just the word Navy, or sometimes it is what carrier it is, sometimes Merry Christmas. It can be just about anything. So the question is, if you were in the military and you were in the Navy, would there be anything in your mind that when the call comes out for you to get on the boat to your assigned spot on the ship, when they're going into port, what would happen in your mind if you said, you know what, Sergeant, or excuse me, Admiral, I'm really not feeling up to it today. I'm just going to sleep in. So if you wouldn't mind finding somebody else to do that for me, what do you think would happen? All right, or even this idea that if you join the military, there is, especially if you join the army and you go into the infantry, there might be a possibility that you could see combat. Is that something that surprises any of you? It's like, why would you go into the military? Why would you go into the infantry if when you get to your first assignment and you go and you look at the battlefield and say, Sergeant, they're shooting at us. Did you know that? That's not why I signed up for this. What would it be like? What would it be like? What would it be like if the order came in and you were to take the hill in order for you to be able to secure the surrounding area? And the men of the company come back to the sergeant saying, Sergeant, Lieutenant, you know what? That's really well fortified. I think we should think about this and call the general and ask him if he really intends to issue this order, because we really think it would be safer for us to stay back, because that's looking a little too dangerous for us right now. What would happen if every single platoon or squad had the ability to say no to the commander? What would happen? What kind of military would that be? Total breakdown. So this morning, I want you to look at your gospel lesson this morning. And I want to put it in this terms. Is there anything dangerous in this gospel reading? Go ahead, look at it. Is there anything dangerous? I'll tell you from a pastor's perspective, coming from a pastor who's preaching on something like this, this can be one of the most dangerous things in order to preach on. Do you realize that? Do you realize what is dangerous to preach on in this segment? Did you look and see in verse 17? Because those are some fighting words. In verse 17, I'd like you, if you had a pen or pencil, I'd like you to circle follow me. Those are dangerous words for a pastor to preach on. Why? Because if you're in your same spot you have always been in for the last 30 years, it's dangerous for a pastor to call out to his congregation that the most important thing to do is to follow Christ. Because the first thing that you're going to think of is, this guy is crazy. This guy is asking me something that's not comfortable for me to do. And how long is he going to be here? Do you know how many pastors across the country who ask their congregations to consider what follow me means? And the congregation's first instinct is to get rid of him. It's actually true. Because to call people to follow Christ is a difficult thing to think about. And it's something that we don't always want to say, you know what, that's a great idea, let's explore that. Because as human beings, our first instinct is, how can I stay comfortable? How can I stay in this box? And Jesus, I'm right here. I'm in row 6, seat 3, every single Sunday. And this is my norm. And so we as Christians say, don't ask me to do anything more. I'm here. I like this. And interesting what Jesus says. So in verse 17. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And so, interesting enough, is that this is not the first time that Jesus has shown up. This is actually the second time. Some of the people that Jesus would call knew him from John the Baptist. And so they had been already talking about him. So this is not just someone showing up and saying, hey, stranger, hey, let's just go follow him. No, this is something that John the Baptist has said, this guy's the real deal. So John the Baptist, right before he gets carted off to prison, he gives his stamp of approval that this guy is worth going after. And so when Jesus shows up and looks to these guys, he says, okay, it's time. And so when we look at what's going on here, let me ask you something. What makes a great leader? What makes a great leader? He listens, okay? What else? Anything? Commands respect, okay? You're a Navy guy, yes, I know. You better be on that topside sailor. All right. Understandable. All right, what else? Anything else? What about this? When I was going through this training for pastors in this leadership course, they said one of the top things about who is a leader is someone who has the ability to first be a follower. To first be a follower. And in order to ask people do what you ask of them, you first need to be that kind of person that does what people ask of you. And so therefore you learn how the orders come, you learn how you want to be spoken to. And so when we look at the disciples, did Jesus say, come and I'm going to let you guys lead right off the bat? No, he says, come follow me. He was calling them into a different life. And so for 3 years, they would follow him and they would glean from him. Even some of the sermons, they'd take him back in before anybody else could get to the pastor or get to Jesus. They would literally get him into the back corner and say, Jesus, that was a great sermon, number one. Appreciate you preaching to us. What did that mean? That didn't make sense. And so we get these guys diving even deeper into the message. And for 3 years, Jesus would teach them what it meant to be a servant. And so you see that after Jesus rose from the dead, what's one of the first things that they go off and do? They go fishing. They go back to fishing Because that's what they did the best. That's what they knew. And so that's where Jesus meets them, is where they have always been, is in this family line of fishing. So they hadn't given up fishing. They haven't given up this life that they knew. It's just their life was different. Their life was different because of Jesus. And so when we take a look at this after Pentecost, it was this man named Peter who had tried to follow so much that he couldn't get anything right. After Pentecost, he's called to lead the entire church. We see that the other 10 apostles outside of Judas were asked to go to various places of the world and just let people know this is who Jesus is. And so this morning, you're saying, okay, this is going to be dangerous because he's going to ask us to sell everything, sell house, car, everything like that, and we're going to be scattered away from here. No, I'm not. I'm going to ask you what it means to follow Christ where you are. Because even when the early church was set up, the Apostle Paul was talking to Timothy about setting up leaders inside the congregation in order to spread the message where they were and also to care for those that were already in the congregations. And so Paul, even talking to Timothy, was talking about this idea of servant leadership. We need to be able to follow orders in order to, again, lead. And so let me ask you this. When you hear the call, when Jesus says, follow me, and that's an order, that's an exclamation point in the Greek. It's not, would you like to follow me? It's follow me. What does that mean in your life? Does that call you to something? Does that mean something even greater? And so what I hope you take a look at is that when Jesus calls, something changes. And so in our lives, even today, something changes. We don't look at our lives and say, Jesus, what's the least common denominator can I give to you? Like we said right before the offering, everything we have is a gift from God. Everything we are is from God. Everything we know of is what God sustains in our lives. And we're just going to say, God, how can we follow you today? Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, Lord God, on this day, we are challenged by you in different ways to follow you. Lord God, there are so many different things that would pull our heart and mind away from you. Lord God, number one, the first thing that's going to pull us away from you is ourselves. We are going to look at every single situation and we are going to say, Lord God, did you really mean me to do that? Instead of, Lord God, what is it that you wanted me to do? How can I follow you today? Lord God, help us understand that your word beckons us to a new life in you. And Lord God, even though our fears want to hold us back, Lord God, you go with us through the fires, through the trials, Lord God, to strengthen us so that others may see how much it means to follow you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.